stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM ClearCase Remote Client Open Mic Conference Call. Today's program is being recorded. As a reminder, all lines will be open and interactive during today's program, so please utilize your mute function when not speaking to help cut down on any background noise. At this time, I'd like to turn the program over to Mr. Jay Morrissey. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Kellyanne. Hello, folks. Welcome to IBM Rational ClearCase's first open mic call. The topic of this call is on the ClearCase Remote Client. I just want to briefly introduce some of the folks here representing IBM. And once we do that, what we'd then like to do is proceed on this call as if it were a casual discussion, sharing information, tips, knowledge about the topic, and just continue the discussion into the hour that way. As Kellyanne, the operator, had said, all the mics are open and interactive and free-for-all, so feel free to jump in and share your thoughts and ideas. My name is Jay Morrissey. I work at IBM Rational in the ClearCase space. Rather than point people out, I'm just going to read the names of the other attendees on the list to keep us moving. We have Adam Levinson, also representing IBM Rational, Christopher Moyer, Christopher Metcalf, Fred Bickford, Howie Bernstein, Bindi Mandava, Kelly Drazel, Dominic Dulay, and Patrick McCarran are all here from the Rational side to add their thoughts and knowledge to this discussion. For those of you who are on the phone, to kick this off, does anybody have anything within the scope of the topic that we've outlined that you want to talk about? Feel free. Otherwise, I'm going to hand it over to Fred Bickford, who's got lots of stuff to talk about. Okay, and I'll take that as a no, and I will give that to Fred Bickford. Before we get rolling, let me give you my email address, and what I would like to do is form a distribution list for this open mic session so that anything that we capture here that we document, I can make available to you after the fact. My email address is the letter J, M as in Michael, O as in Octagon, 2 R's as in Robert, I as in Indigo, 2 S's as in Stephen, at us.ibm.com. If you'd like to just send me a note there, say that you attended this session, I'll make sure your name gets put onto the distribution list. So if there are no other catalysts for the discussion, I'm going to hand the presentation over to Fred Bickford to get the snowball rolling. Go ahead, Freddie.
Thanks, Jay. And at any time, if people just want to chime in and ask questions, really not knowing the audience totally as far as your experience with CCRC, I'm really just going to touch for a few minutes on what CCRC brings as a ClearCase offering to the table. And hopefully that will stimulate some conversations, or if people have questions about what I'm speaking about, just chime in and we can get into a lot of detail. I'm going to stay at a high level just to keep it going. So I've been working with the remote clients as far as helping customers from a support perspective and deployment perspective for a couple of years now since its inception. So it's been out about probably 3-4 years now. What CCRC is an Eclipse-based remote client that is intended for a ClearCase offering to be served up on the WAN as well as the LAN. So it's not one of the misnomers is that it can only be used in a WAN environment. That's anything further from the truth. Obviously, as the network gets better, things only perform better. Some of the key things that CCRC brings to the table, and it's a ClearCase client that works off of a web snapshot view. So it's not a dynamic view. But it works off a snapshot view, which is a kind of a copy load model. Some of the high points of CCRC are that it's an extremely simple client to install and deploy. It's not tied, as far as the client, to any type of local operating system, you know, identities, et cetera. So there's not the overhead of whether it be NIS on something like Linux Unix or a Windows domain on the client, for Windows, the access or the identities are all managed on the server side. So it's probably more towards a true client-server model from a ClearCase perspective than we've ever had before. It can target multiple platforms. So without reconfiguring a client, for instance, a Windows client can access a Windows environment or what's called a Windows ClearCase segment, VOBs, et cetera, and at the same time or with no modifications to the client, can also point to a Unix or Linux environment. This is extremely helpful for people that have workers that are in different buildings that need to or different groups inside the organization that need to access different environments without the desire to reconfigure a complete client. And in doing so can also work in reverse. So the client offering for the remote client is available on Windows, Linux, Unix, and with 7.1, the version we just shipped at the end of the year, now available on Mac OS X. So those clients can access any combination of backends. So if a company has got a lot of mixed platforms or through acquisition or outsourcing or other business impacts, pick up developers that are on different platforms. For instance, if you're a ClearCase Windows shop and you acquire a company that is primarily Linux, obviously, there may be some business reasons why you have to convert them over to Windows, but ClearCase doesn't prevent a barrier now from having a Linux user accessing that source or those repositories that are based on Windows. So it can eliminate interop packages such as Samba and Taz and other things like that, but also work in reverse interop, which is added flexibility that we haven't really had without a lot of reconfiguration in the client or some significant hurdles. Another misnomer that I personally hear from a lot of customers, sometimes is, I don't know if I can make the decision to move to CCRC. CCRC can coexist with a native client. In fact, it's a completely separate package. So if you're on, Windows, there's no registry entries that conflict or anything like that. And it really can be, simplified with the Eclipse environment to be completely separate from any ClearCase offering, via a traditional client or a native client. What that can allow you to do is allow you to start the deployment of CCRC while you're on a native client deployment without a radical change, so you can actually have both products coexisting. I'm going to stop right here and open up for any questions. I had a few more points to touch on, but I didn't know if anybody had any questions about what I've just spoken about.
I have a quick question. This is Louise Cormier.
Yeah.
If you have two versions of ClearCase in the same company, can you have the FIT client for one and then the CCRC for the other?
Sure.
On the same machine?
Yeah. So that and that works with multiple versions. So for an example, if I was running, let's say, version 6 or 2003-06 of ClearCase, and I had a brand-new 7.1 instance or environment that I needed to work with, I can have that client, the 7.1 version of CCRC, on my desktop as well as ClearCase 2003. And that's, I'm using that as kind of an older version versus a new version, and it can work in reverse as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they're completely, they're completely separate. The big difference would be where do the VOB servers, and for CCRC, where does the web server or, the CM server for 7.1 or RWP live? So
right.
As long as you have two instances or two environments to connect to, sure. In fact, I personally probably have 6.7, 7.01, and 7.1 on a single desktop. Now, granted, being in support, I always have different configurations to test, but they're completely separate entities You know, and I always have, I probably have a mix. You know, I sometimes run the latest and greatest native client versus sometimes an older client. So really, they're completely separate.
Awesome. Thank you.
And what, and also to take that a step further, with a little bit of understanding of the Eclipse IDE, if you're using something like the Eclipse SDK or a another Eclipse IDE, you know, compatible Eclipse IDE, you can actually have multiple versions inside the same IDE so that you can switch back and forth within the same instance. So if you had a, let's say, an extreme case or an example where you had to roll out CCRC and you needed to test the user experience for 701 and the user experience for 7.1 with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of configuration, that's not a long stretch to be able to do that as well. So the flexibility of the remote client is that it's almost purely dependent on the server side. Like I said, it's more of a true client-server model. I think our ClearCase clients, as we call the native client, are a very complex server talking to other complex servers. So that kind of flexibility with CCRC makes it easier to kind of handle those changes between versions. Any other questions? Okay, carrying on that same theme, I wanted to talk about probably what hopefully, you know, would be something that's a benefit for all, whether it be ClearCase admins or end users that could be on the phone. With CCRC, the model to upgrade, to patch up or to include fixes is extremely simple. That could be done a series of ways that are almost automatic, very much like a Windows update, if you're familiar with the Windows desktop, where you'd get a notification of, you know, of a pending update or a need, and, you know, you're kind of either allowed to upgrade, or you know you can kind of say no and do it later. The Eclipse update model, which is what we kind of piggyback off of. So it's, if you're familiar with Eclipse at all, it's a standard methodology for updating plugins or updating Eclipse products. Also allows a great method or flexibility to downgrade, so that if you run into an issue where you upgrade to the, say, the latest and greatest fix, and there's a conflict or there's something that impacts your work, you can easily roll back. And in CCRC, that's probably a matter of a minute or two. You know, there's no real major changes. It's pretty much point-and-click. Eclipse does a great job of storing all the history of the changes of the client so that you can actually downgrade, you know, various levels, you know, or roll back to certain periods of time when you applied fixes or other changes to your environment. So if you're using a complex Eclipse IDE and you've made series of changes, you know, kind of akin to the Windows restore points, Eclipse can let you roll back to a certain period in time to a known configuration quite easily. And this has allowed us, from a product standpoint, to deliver fixes that are pure client-side fixes much faster and with a greater number. I don't have the exact numbers, but I know in the 2003 version, we had 6 service releases, so 6 major service fixes, if you want to say. And I think we had 11 client updates, if I'm counting right. But it was a lot more than what we did for service releases, mainly because they were client-only fixes, and the technology with the Eclipse updater allowed us to, you know, really simplify that without any major impact to the customers. A couple things, depending on the version of ClearCase you're running. In 7.1, these are just some key things I always like to echo to customers, because sometimes even if you're using the remote client, you may not be aware of them. In 7.1, probably the biggest feature, or one of the most popular features that came into play, was region mapping. So For a long period of time and still present in the native client, limiting VOB access, you know, to a certain user or a certain group has been difficult. You can do so with configurations or maybe multi-site, but there's never been a really simplified way to do it and to have it so that it's not something that can be kind of worked around or an intelligent user who knows how to change their regions, et cetera, or register VOBs, et cetera, can get around. And region mapping is quite simple. There's really a map file depending on user and group, and this is configured by the admin in the text file that allows the web server to sit on one master region that knows of all VOB tags and view tags, and then depending on group or user, can split up and direct users and groups to certain regions so that they only have visibility to the VOBs and views that are in those regions. It's excellent for, obviously, you know, consultants or third-party work, but also has simplified some customers' approach to kind of limiting certain teams inside the organization to have access to certain repositories, whether it be a security or, you know, a job task, or just to make it simplified for the users because they don't need to have access to all 150 VOBs and get, you know, possibly confused by what VOBs to load, et cetera. In 7.1, there's been an immense amount of change or features that have been added. A couple that I wanted to touch on are probably, you know, a few of the most popular ones are the ability to filter. So if you have, if you've used remote client, and for instance, and you've navigated down to a large source tree, you know, if it's a Java package, it could be buried into 16 directories deep, and, you know, sometimes navigating down to that file can sometimes be either problematic or just cumbersome. With 7.1, we've developed filters so that you can actually filter on, for instance, that given package or that directory in that example, so that you can filter out all of the corresponding parts of the tree except for what you're looking at. They don't just go away. You can actually revert the filter back to the default. But what that does is it really simplifies the UI so that you're looking at what you need at a given time, you know, without having a lot of overhead. And in 7.1, we've introduced that same filter that can be done for the ClearQuest pieces that we've added. So in 7.1, the ClearCase, ClearQuest kind of unified client, if you're using ClearQuest for UCM, for example, there's a lot of additional functionality that is now present in CCRC from a ClearQuest perspective, and the filters can apply to that so that you're only looking at the source tree you expect, for example, with the query in ClearQuest that, you know, you really care about VR defects. Some of the other things are the ability to change between a simple and more detailed UI so that, for instance, a checkout, you can really keep a checkout to basically be a one-button operation, or if, depending on your needs, you can allow it to, you know, have a comment and have other, you know, choices like you normally do in the native client. So for a new user to ClearCase, the ability to switch between the simple and complex UIs is a great feature in 7.1. Another thing to note in 7.1 is, and this is, has come up with some customers as they've deployed 7.1, is that 7.1 actually from a CM server, which is the web server to serve up for CCRC clients, CM server has to sit on version 7.1, but your existing VOB repositories can sit on 7.01. We all obviously recommend that, you know, you try to keep the versions in parallel, so thus upgrading VOB service to 7.1. But if that's something that is a little bit of an administrative task, you can have a 7.1 CM server accessing a 7.01 VOB, you know, VOB server. So that can allow you to a little bit more gracefully migrate your users over to 7.1 without having a server impact. A thing, it's one of my favorite things is the pending changes view. So this is a UI in 7.1 that allows you to kind of, if I'm trying to describe it over the phone without showing it, allow you to sit with one config spec and kind of look at the pending changes that could be coming from another config spec. So, for instance, if I'm working with another user, we'll simplify it to two users, if I'm working with another user and they're on their private branch, then I can set up the pending changes view to take in the input or notify me when they have merges coming in and also alert me to alert them to when changes from me are going to impact their config spec. Does anybody have any questions? And it can be on pretty much anything. Can I ask a question if there are people actively? I'll ask the question, since we're kind of just an open mic, how many people are actively using CCRSC in their organization, and if so, what do they approximate their user base?
This is Louise Cormier. We are definitely a CCRSC Eclipse plugin-based organization. We're moving from ClearCase 6 to ClearCase 7, and 7 is 100% thin client. Right now, I would say we have probably 300-plus users, which will almost double in the middle of this year once we get everybody moved over.
And how long have you been using CCRSC?
For ClearCase 7.0, probably a year now. The hardest part is moving the developers from the SIT client, where they're used to doing everything in there and getting – they actually go to the SIT client to check out their files, then go into Eclipse to do their work. For some reason, I can't get them to understand to do it all together. But.
Okay. And what's the Eclipse ID you're using? Is it just the SDK or?
They use the full-blown. Some use My Eclipse. Some use just the free version. Some use the new WebLogic Eclipse that's coming out.
Okay.
For the portal and stuff. Yeah. So we've got multiple different Eclipses. And like most of our developers, like I personally have three versions of Eclipse on my machine because I'm playing with 7.1 and I've got 7.0 and 2003. So,
okay. Yeah. And that's important to note, just you know, for people on the phone, that if you have, you know, we have probably some tech notes that detail the requirements, but for the most part, you know, if it's a fairly current Eclipse, whether it be My Eclipse or the Eclipse offerings from IBM like RAD or RSA or even the SDK or the runtimes, you know, CCRSC is pretty compatible within those Eclipse IDs, so it's pretty flexible that you don't have to change over to I think another thing that I hear from customers is we offer CCRSC in what we call a standalone or a rich client platform version, which is an installable application. And that obviously is fine, that's an installable application, but what happens sometimes is that customers have an Eclipse IDE and they're not aware that there's also the plug-in versions that can plug the same exact code, same exact product, but plug it into your existing Eclipse IDE so that your developers don't have to change from My Eclipse or RAD or whatever to another application. They can work seamlessly in their existing workspaces. Did anybody else on the phone be able to share any of their CCRSC deployment statistics, I guess?
Or even challenges that they've experienced with the CCRSC part of
challenges.
The
challenges. Fred?
Yeah?
This is Peter Hack. I just had a follow-up question based on the last discussion. For people using the thick client, it sounded like at least we have one example where people weren't using the ClearCase SCM adapter. Are people aware of that integration between ClearCase thick client and Eclipse?
That's a good point, Peter. So also, we've been talking about CCRSC, which is really obviously an entry into bridging Eclipse and ClearCase, but also we've had that even predates CCRSC, is the Rational SCM Adapter. So that is an Eclipse plugin that allows you to extend your existing Eclipse IDs, but use the native client. So you can actually use dynamic views in your native client. And really what that does is that really takes the existing Eclipse ID that's on the desktop and work with that same native client that is already on that desktop. So that does have a requirement that the full native client be present, but that also can be used in, you know, in conjunction with CCRC. So CCRC doesn't step on the toes of the SCM adapter, but if users need to work, for instance, inside of a dynamic view, the SCM adapter is, you know, is a perfect solution for that. And as a follow-up to the kind of the post on the forum that Jay had, what we can do is we can share some of the links, you know, or for things like the pointer out to the SCM adapter and some of the other things we've talked about as well. Did anyone have any other questions, or are there things that they've heard back from their developers, you know, as far as, you know, they like using Eclipse, they don't have an interest to use Eclipse, they haven't used CCRC, or they've tried it?
Just going to suggest that. Fred, can you talk about the command line interface?
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up, Jay. So just recently, probably within the last, I'd say, week and a half, there's been an announcement that was posted, and I'll put that announcement out there on forums, that we've released the command line interface for CCRC. So this is a command line that would work very much like, you know, a typical or what people are been used to as far as ClearTool, that will work through the web snapshot view. So it still requires CCRC. In essence, it works from the command line, but it works through through the CCRC mechanism to, you know, the CCRC server. And what it does, it has, you know, there'll be multiple iterations of commands that are added, and I'll post up kind of what commands are supported or the link that I'll post up has them. But most of them in the initial, most of the common ones, check in, check out, make elm, et cetera, there'll be UCM functionality added, and there'll be even more functionality added in multiple iterations throughout probably the next year. But that will allow users to work in a command line if they needed to automate some tasks. As well as the command line, one thing to bring up, I guess, is that for a couple versions now, or at least in 7.01, and formally in 7.1, we've released the CM API. So the CM API is a Java-based API that will allow you to programmatically access and perform operations in ClearCase. This would really be probably more leveraged by users that want to build an integration to ClearCase or to build a bridge from a tool set into ClearCase. It works presently only with the web snapshot view, so only works through CCRC, but it's a Java-based API that we've released in support so that people can actually build bridges or tools or perform ClearCase operations, as well as ClearQuest. There's a ClearQuest side of that as well, whether it be through ClearCase or ClearQuest through a CM server.
Hey, Fred.
Yep.
If I was an existing CCRC user, not having implemented the command line interface up to this point, what are some things that I might want to watch out for if I wanted to turn all or part of my shop over to, command line functions or triggers or automated things? What caveats might I want to observe?
And that's a good question. Yeah, I think one of the things that people need to consider in that regard is the fact that you're working remotely over a server. So depending on the performance of the connection from the client to the server, the performance, you know, behavior may be different than, for instance, ClearTool on the desktop working on the native client. So what I've always recommended with customers about anything in CCRC, really, the command line just happens to be a component of it, is if you're using existing ClearCase clients, is to kind of pilot or test out your exact same use cases, because although CCRC was, you know, kind of developed and mainly targeted initially at a WAN-based offering, more and more customers are using it on the LAN. But, you know, some things that, that customers will call in about from time to time is, gee, I'm trying to load a view that is 5 gigabytes in size. I have a client that's in India and my server's in New York, and, you know, it takes some time. I don't see that same behavior when I have the client, a traditional snapshot view in New York going against the server. So there's some impacts there, the network connectivity and the speed of light to move data across the world. But what I always recommend to customers about piloting anything or doing anything in CCRC, if they're coming from an existing ClearCase environment, is to do a comparison. Take a look at things like triggers. Triggers, some customers have developed quite complex triggers that require a lot of information that or serve client-side knowledge. In the model of CCRC, it's really a pure client model, so the server doesn't have the same type of empirical knowledge about what's happening on the client, reading client operating system environment variables or certain things like that. So there's some challenges, and we have a lot of documentation on those caveats, but there's some things to keep in mind that CCRC is a true client, and operations are happening on the CCRC server. So some of the things, like for instance in triggers, that server doesn't have knowledge of what may be on the client, let's say from an operating system or hardware perspective in India in our example. So there's some things that you have to approach triggers a little bit differently. And CCRC is just another ClearCase client, but obviously has some different architecture that you have to keep in mind when you're trying to roll it out or deploy it. Things, you know, obviously you have to just consider, and that's the same with any kind of new version or I should say new client of a product. I think also my experience, and this is going on a couple of years, with CCRC, a lot of the times some of the pain for customers has been a lot of probably, information that hasn't, probably been put forth by us to clarify some things. But really, I've seen customers quite successful in deploying CCRC when they look at exactly what CCRC does, what its strengths, obviously what its weaknesses, what it can and cannot do. And the user base is aware of that. I think trying to just say CCRC, replaces, traditional ClearCase is obviously misleading, because the existing native client has so many complexities and features that, it probably may never be possible to duplicate it exactly. But a lot of customers are quite happy with the features that CCRC does bring to the table. And I've actually had a couple customers say they actually like CCRC rather than the native client, because it prevents their users from getting, I won't say confused, but possibly doing operations that they really shouldn't or aren't aware of the impact. And the remote client allows them just to, focus on their work, develop code, deliver those changes and move on without a lot of, tool impact or overhead of the tool on top of their process. So is there anyone else on the call that is using CCRC currently, or is there anyone on the phone that is not using CCRC but maybe using Eclipse or Eclipse IDs? Okay, one other thing I want to touch on, and I'll post a link out, is the simplicity of the install. So, like I mentioned, we have the standalone client, which is an installable product. That installs a JRE because we leverage Java in the Eclipse client. But also, you know, what I mentioned, that you can plug CCRC, the same exact product, into an existing Eclipse IDE. So if you have something like an Eclipse SDK and you make those customizations, there's no install really for, if you're not familiar with Eclipse, there's no real install for Eclipse. So you can actually simplify, you know, your installation of a ClearCase client down to a matter of a few minutes, basically extracting or untarring a given file. And what I'll do is I'll probably post the link. There's a white paper I wrote that I did mainly from some of my experience with customers, but also from my experience in support, having to kind of deploy and break and test and, you know, need to redeploy some practices that I learned to kind of simplify that so that you can actually, you know, bring your ClearCase deployment down to, you know, unzipping a package. So if you have Tivoli or SMS or other deployment mechanisms like that, you know, the overhead of the traditional ClearCase client with its install and site prep and the ALBD, et cetera, is a way of the past.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, sir.
That was awesome. I know you like to talk about CCRC. It's one of your favorite subjects. So, this is Jay Morrissey. At this point, I can hear Fred's voice starting to go. I wanted to solicit to see if there were any questions either on anything that Fred had talked about or anything about CCRC in 7.1 and 7.01 for the table, for the discussion out there. No?
Jay, I'd like to ask one more question for the people on the phone, and feel free to chime in. For those people that aren't using CCRC, can they let me know or speak up with what they feel is the number one hurdle against them being able to use CCRC? Short of, which is obviously a known issue or something we're very well aware of in the product group, short of dynamic view support. So is there anything else that people can speak up about being the, you know, their biggest barrier?
Everybody loves the product.
So I guess that means everybody will be deploying CCRC shortly.
Cool. Okay. So if there are no other questions, I had one final request for the audience out there. This is the first such event that we've held. And again, the purpose was to engender and get rolling or get spitballing or snowballing a casual discussion. We had envisioned this type of discussion happening in a lounge somewhere over drinks. This was the first topic we had decided upon. For those of you out there, what other such topics do you think you'd like to see in this forum? If you could share your suggestions with us, it would be very helpful for us planning the next one. Certainly we want to hold the next one or to hold future such events. We want to make sure that the topics are appetizing. So what are your thoughts? What are the types of topics you'd like to see in this forum, please? Louise, how about you? I know you're out there.
Because I'm the only one that replies. Pick on me.
Don't consider it picking on you. I'm just happy you're out there. It's good to hear your voice.
I feel like I'm the only one on the call. I would just it's unfortunate that no one else is speaking up, because I know we could have a lot of conversations because, you know, I'm having a lot of problems moving developers from the thick client just because they're used to having clear tool commands in their build scripts and, you know, and all that stuff, but I think you guys covered that. But I would like to see discussions on, you know, UCM stream strategies. You know, when do you use multiple streams and you know, what happens when you do, like, I know there's a lot of things out there, but, you know, coming from, you know, being my CM is my religion, you know, I really like to have good discussions, especially if you're offering drinks, you know, about, you know, UCM stream strategies and the difficulties you're having from, you know, moving from a base clear case to a UCM environment, which is my, of course, that's my selfish ask because that's what I'm doing, and it's huge. Like, I've got VODs out here that are 480 gigabytes, and trying to, you know, munch them up and get into them to use UCM is like pulling teeth. Mm-hmm. And just hearing other people's experiences from moving from base to UCM would really, you know, be really nice. And how to get them into, you know, using the activities and you know, getting them to use ClearQuest without hiding it underneath, you know, kind of thing. So,
two great suggestions, Louise. Thank you. Any other thoughts, either from yourself or from your peers out there?
Are you going to email me my drink?
Like Kung Fu Panda said, don't tempt me. If I can find a way to digitize a drink for you, Louise, I would send you one.
All right, there we go.
Any other thoughts on future topics, folks? Okay.
But don't go away, because I think we have...
We do. There's actually, I think that the mechanism that we're having this conference through is going to solicit your thoughts for feedback on this session, like kind of a survey.
Yes, and
so I was going to say, so please don't run off too quickly yet, so we can get that information. One other comment I wanted to make. You know, some people might be shy, or they might be in the middle of something. If you've got any other thoughts on future topics or feedback on this discussion, you should feel free to post out to the forum as well, where the announcement for this event was made. We'll keep that open for a while, and then go ahead and when we close it up, we'll grab that data and roll it into what we're going to do next. But if there are no other questions, if there are no other thoughts for discussion, I appreciate you all coming and participating. Fred, thank you so much for sharing your ideas.
Thank you guys for dialing in.
Of course. Any other thoughts from the folks here at Rational that I've missed? Chime in, please. Tap at a tap. Okay. Very good, then. Again, thank you all. Kellyanne?
Thank you. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. For our question today, how useful did you find this conference call? Press star 1 if very useful, star 2 for somewhat useful, or star 3 for not useful. We'll pause for just a moment. All right, we thank you all for your responses, and that will conclude this IBM teleconference. Have a pleasant day.
Thank you, folks. Take care.